Audio Service, National Radio Club.
Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for December 2010. This is issue number 309. If you'd like to write to us at the DX Audio Service, our new address is the DX Audio Service, Post Office Box 473-251, Aurora, Colorado, 80047-3251. Email is sales, S-A-L-E-S, at nrcdxas.org. Please change all your records for the DX Audio Service to this new address, as we're trying to distance ourselves from the mail problems here in Lima, and I'll explain that in just a few moments. A yearly subscription to the DX Audio Service for U.S. Canadian members is $28. Tapes are sent by first-class mail, and you keep your cassettes. To subscribe or renew, make a check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org and sign up using our PayPal credit card system. Again, the new address for the DX Audio Service is Post Office Box 473-251, Aurora, A-U-R-O-R-A, Colorado, 80047-3251. Or if you're on the internet, you can sign up to EDXN and get your DX Audio Service in MP3 format. A subscription to EDXN is only $15. Just point your browser to www.e-dxn.com and subscribe online with our PayPal credit card system. Now note, you must be able to download and navigate a website to use this service. Well, this past month has been sort of like the old baseball game, three strikes and you're out. Strike one. The Lima Post Office has lost its regional mail certification, so mail is taking longer than ever to get to me or for me to send something out. I thought it took too long to begin with before this all happened, but now we're seeing as much as 14 to 21 days to get a first-class letter out of town and across the state. And some members have expressed some great displeasure when they have sent checks and they've not arrived here until 3 or even 4 weeks later. So Wayne and I have decided that the best course of action is to have all the correspondence, all the checks, sent to him in Aurora, Colorado, and then he will notify me of the changes. So please make that correction in your address book, and don't send anything here to Lima because the mail is really bad. Strike two. You wonder where the musings went? So did I. And I finally figured it out after doing some research. It seems that Facebook, of all things, has purchased the phone service that we were using for musings to the members, and they just cut it off. So we're left without a musings to the members phone service for the time being. Now, please do not call me and ask when it's going to be back or express your displeasure that it's not available. I realize that, and we're trying to figure out a way to get around it. What it might end up happening is I just might have to buy it out of my own pocket and pay a monthly fee for a new phone line here at the house just to be able to do musings. I think with this economy that we're in, we just can't trust some of these businesses and these companies that supply these services like the one we were using for musings. It was nice, but unfortunately it just went away without even so much as a notification. Strike three. Less than 24 hours ago, I received a email from Bill Hale saying that he's not going to be an editor here on the DX Audio Service anymore. In fact, he has no column. So I'll be taking over the AM switch duties for the time being, but we're looking for an editor. And if you would like to be the new AM switch editor, all you have to do is apply to either Wayne or myself and let us know that you would like to do it. A couple things. First of all, you must be able to record with fairly decent quality the AM switch column and send it to us here in an MP3 format, preferably. And you must be able to be trusted to do one every month at the same time. We usually ask our editors to have their material in on the 15th of the month, which gives us time to be able to put the magazine together. So if you are interested in becoming the new AM Switch editor, please apply to either Wayne or myself for consideration. Now with that, let us move to AM Switch. This is AM Switch for December 2010, and I'm your Switchmeister, Fred Volby. Let's take a look at call letter changes on 570 WTNT in Bethesda, Maryland, has switched their call sign to WSPZ. That's WSPZ. 730 WXTR in Alexandria, Virginia, is changing their call sign to WTNT. So a little switcheroo there. 1340 KEBC in Midwest City, Oklahoma, is now KGHM. 1400 KEZL in Vestalia, California, is now KRZR. 1420 WLET in Toccoa, Georgia, is now WVNG. 1430, the new station in North Las Vegas, Nevada, is KCWK. 1560 KOCY in Del City, Oklahoma, is now KEBC. 1670 up in the X-band, WFSM in Dry Branch, Georgia, is now WPLA. And we did forget one here. 1470 WRWB in Huntington, West Virginia, is now going to be WNBL. And note that WNBL has a CP to move to 1200 kilohertz. In the actions, we have 720 WGCR in Pisgah Forest, North Carolina. They've got a CP to grant an increase to their day power to become D1, 50,000 watts day, and critical hours of 15,000 watts. 910 KINA in Salina, Kansas. Due to storm-related damage to their transmission line, KINA is operating under a special temporary authorization, that's an STA as they call it, with a day power of 125 watts. 930 CJYQ in St. John's, Newfoundland. Their CP is to grant them U5, 25,000 watts day, 3,500 watts night. They're decreasing their nighttime power while going non-directional and relocating their night transmitter. So you might have a shot at hearing that in the future. On 1010 WGUN in Atlanta, Georgia, their CP was granted for U1, 50,000 watts day, 78 watts night, and a critical hours power of 45,000 watts. This increases, by the way, their critical hours power. 1260 WI3XSO in Aguadilla, Puerto Rico. This station has been licensed for U5, 2,500 watts day, 850 watts night, and WI3XSO has a CP for U4, 2,500 watts day, 4,800 watts night, and amended the request to U4, 5,000 watts day, 4,800 watts night, which has, by the way, been granted. 1220 KJUL in Cornwall, Ontario, the CRTC, in response to a request of the owner, Chorus Radio Corporation, has revoked the license of KJUL. Now, this makes two stations, KHSC in St. Catharines and KJUL, that are on 1220 that have signed off in the past couple of weeks. So could this mean that WHKW in Cleveland could open up its tight pattern that Knowles toward these two cities? Well, only time will tell. 1300 WJMO in Cleveland, Ohio has been licensed for U3, 5,000 watts day, 5,000 watts night, and WJMO is operating under a special temporary authorization with U1, 1,200 watts day, 1,200 watts night, and critical hours of 1,200 watts due to theft of and vandalism to their ground system. Somebody got some copper, it looks like. 1400 KJGR in Golden, British Columbia. Their CP is to move to 106.3 with 890 watts at minus 373 meters. Once the FM station has begun its regular schedule, 1400 has 90 days of life left. 1430 KZQZ in St. Louis, Missouri. They've been granted a CP for U4, 50,000 watts day, 5,000 watts night, increasing their daytime power. The new daytime pattern is a kidney-shaped pattern with the major lobes heading to the northeast and the southwest and a major null to the southeast. And finally, 1640 WTNI in Biloxi, Mississippi. They're operating under an STA with U1, 2,500 watts day, 1,000 watts night. We'll get into the WTNI actions later on in the applications segment. Well, amendments to construction permits just south of me here, 1110 WGNZ in Fairborn, Ohio. They were licensed for D3, which is 2,500 watts day, no power at night, critical hours of 1,700 watts. WGNZ has a CP for D3, 5,000 watts day, 0 watts night, critical hours 1,700, and this amends the request of U7, 5,000 watts day, 2 watts at night, and critical hours of 1,700 watts. Under applications, 1060 WCOK in Sparta, North Carolina, they've applied for D1, 1,100 watts day, no power at night, critical hours of 1,100 watts, and this increases their daytime power by adding the critical hours designation. 1080 KCNM in Saipan is applying for U1, 1,100 watts, and 1,100 watts at night. 1250 in Marion, North Carolina, WBRM. They're applying for U1, 5,000 watts day, 51 watts night, and they're moving to a new transmitter site. 1260 WSHU in Westport, Connecticut. They're applying for U1, 1,000 watts day, 18 watts at night, and they're going to change their city of license to Stratford, Connecticut. 1360 WMOB in Mobile, Alabama. They were licensed for U4, 5,000 watts day, 212 watts night, and WMOB is operating under an STA with D1, 1,000 watts day, 0 watts at night from a temporary site. Now, this application is to make them U4, 9,000 watts day, 200 watts night from a new site. 1450 KVSL in Sholo, Arizona. They applied for a move to 1470 kilohertz with U1, 1100 watts day, 80 watts at night. Now, this is a correction from the last issue of the DX Audio Service. 1640 in Biloxi, Mississippi, WTNI. Well, they applied to reduce the height of their tower by approximately one half. WTNI uses one of the towers formerly used by its predecessor, WVMI, on 570, and it's 206.5 electrical degrees in height at 1640 kilohertz. Now, due to the degradation of the tower caused by conditions near the Gulf Coast, WTMI is planning to replace the tower in the near future. Now, they have filed for an STA to operate at a reduced power while the tower is being dismantled and a replacement structure is being put into place. Applications to new stations, 1220. There's a new station going into Lakeville, New York. It's applying for U4, 2,500 watts day and 2,500 watts night. 1420 WKPR in Kalamazoo, Michigan. They're applying to move to 1440 kilohertz with U1, 2,700 watts day and 24 watts night. A new station is going in to Shawano, Wisconsin on 1460. They're applying for U4, 1,000 watts day, 620 watts night. And also a new station in Golden, Colorado on 1550. They're applying for U2, 5,000 watts day, 250 watts night. A few AMs on FM, 570 WSAU in Wausau, Wisconsin. They're going to be heard in Rudolph on 99.9, 1260 WSHU in Westport, Connecticut. They're going to be on 89.9 in Nonack, New York. 1370 WVMR in Frost, West Virginia is going to be on 91.9 in Hillsboro. And 1570 KCNN in East Grand Forks, Minnesota. They're going to be on a translator of K300BG 107.9 in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Turning now to CPs, which have just gotten on the air, 940 KDIL in Jerome, Idaho is now on the air with U4, 1,000 watts day, 250 watts night from a two-tower site. 1110 KVTT in Mineral Wells, Texas is now on the air with D4, 50,000 watts day, no watts at night, critical hours of 39,000 watts. 1390 in Shelby, North Carolina, WOHS, is now on the air with U1, 700 watts day, 16 watts after moving to the former tower of WZGV, 730, and it's now moved to Cramerton. 1430 WCWC in Williamsburg, Kentucky, is now licensed for U1, 5,700 watts day, 32 watts a night. At last report, WCWC was silent, so this may signal their return. 1520 WEXY in Wilton Manors, Florida is now on the air with U2, 5,000 watts day, 800 watts night. 1540 WKVQ in Eaton, Georgia, their CP for D1, 10,000 watts day, no watts at night, critical hours of 1,600 watts, is now on the air. In the dismissal columns, 1560 in Greenville, Georgia, that application for a new station, zip, nada, it's out of there. Grants for new stations, 1230. A new station's going into Somersville, West Virginia. CP was granted for U1, 1,000 day and night. 1240, a new station in Prescott, Arizona. CP for U1, 1,000 watts day and night from a 90-foot tower, of all things. 1490, a new station in Lamont, Pennsylvania. CP was granted for U1, 1,000 watts day, 270 watts night, from a 125-foot tower, so they seem to grow a little bit. Well, let's get into some news and information. Returning to the airwaves, KGVL 1400 in Greenville, Texas. They're returning as oldies, 14GVL, and it's no longer parallel with their FM. Reported as silent, WGAD 930 in Rainbow City, Alabama. Also, KZSF 1370 and KSJX 1500, both in San Jose, California. Hey, they're silent after a fire destroyed their transmitter site. CFGT 1270 in Alma, Quebec has signed off. They're moving to 104.5 megahertz, and after the sign-off, the AM programming consisted only as a repeated message. Per a DX tip call, Altobia reports that he's no longer hearing a weak broadcast signal FMing between 510 and 520 kilohertz, as reported in DX News Magazine. The saga of KRKO 1380 in Everett, Washington, has been in a battle with the Snohomish County Council over the placement of their two towers that they want to add to their current array of two to proceed with their upgrade from the current U2 5,000 watts day and night to U2 50,000 watts day and night. In order for KRKO to upgrade, one of their stipulations in the application is an environmental impact study on the land where the towers are located. The first hurdle will be for the City Council to approve the request to use more of the land where they're located. The Council, in preliminary move, passed its new shoreline rules with a 5-0 vote. The new rules will allow existing AM radio towers and ones with permits already issued to be rebuilt if they are damaged or destroyed. Meanwhile, the Federal Communications Commission has requested more environmental analysis on the two towers. The county rules for shoreline development, and it will allow existing AM towers and ones with permits already issued. Some feared that overreactive rules for rebuilding broadcast towers could encourage more acts of sabotage, such as the September 2009 toppling of two of KRKO's towers. The partnership that built the KRKO towers is also planning two more 199-foot towers at the same location. The FCC has requested a study. Under fines, KAPL 1300 in Phoenix, Oregon has been fined $5,600 for failing to file their renewal applications in a timely manner and subsequent unauthorized operations after its authorization expired. Returning to the airwaves, KDRD 680 in Newburgh, Kentucky returns with Sports ESPN. WWCL 1440 in Lehigh Acres, Florida returns to the air with Spanish Religion as Radio Vision Cristiana. They're also parallel with WWRV 1330 in New York. Let's go back to fines with KXMO 1500 in Merkle, Texas. Now, they've been fined $1,500 for failing to file their renewal in a timely manner. Returning to the airwaves, WXKO 1150 in Fort Valley, Georgia. They return to the air parallel an FM station, WFXM 107.1 in Gordon, and they're with a R&B format as Power 107.1. WNGL 1410 in Mobile, Alabama returns to the air with Religion as Archangel Radio. Reported as silent, KRRP 950 in Coushatta, I believe it is, Louisiana. Here's a news item. The FCC reports that as of September 30th, there are 4,784 licensed AM stations in the United States and its territories. And also some more fines. $3,500 to WEPG 910 in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee for failing to enclose the base of its antenna with an effective locked fence and failure to maintain and make available their public inspection file at its main studio. $5,500 to WSDQ 1190 in Dunlap, Tennessee for failure to maintain an operable EAS system. $8,000 to WIBR 1300, located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, for failure to properly maintain the station's public inspection file. Also returning to the airwaves, WQOM 1060 in Nantuck, Massachusetts, will return to the air with Catholic programming. Another station on the silent list, KORC 820 in Waldport, Oregon, and WTKN 1230 in Corinth, Mississippi. And with that, we'll lay the AM switch to rest for December 2010. Thanks for listening. Now here's Mark Dernberger.
Mark Dernberger here, and today we wrap up South Dakota IDs, many of which you may never have heard, from our two listening posts at Henry and Faith, South Dakota. We captured every AM station in the state and a lot more to boot. As we've noted, these captures are made with a low-noise 30-foot vertical wire deployed near the car as we motored west. Using the Perseus receiver in the looped playback mode, we isolate the captures to a time period of just a few seconds before 5 p.m. Mountain Time on September 9th, I think. And as usual, we simply tune up the dial and let you hear what's out there. Oh, and I'm not going to put you through repeats of stations we've already heard in the last reports. If a South Dakota station showed up at both listening sites, you've already heard it, and we'll skip it this time. Instead, you'll see how neatly some frequencies are reused out here. Stations you heard at certain dial spots from the eastern part of the state are no longer there. Instead, you'll hear the locals and near locals farther west. So, the rest of the AM band is heard in Faith, South Dakota, the western part of the state, not too far from the Badlands, on the December DX Audio Service band scan.
This is CBC News. It's 4 o'clock Pacific, 5 o'clock Mountain. Good afternoon. I'm Bernie McNamee with the world this hour. Ottawa is teaming up with the RCA.
Your kind of country. KZMX 580 AM and 96.7 FM. Hot Springs, Edgemont, Custer.
Badlands Cafe and Scoop Shop is open Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. See you soon.
This is Gospel Radio, KGLE Glendive, your source for inspiration, farm news, and weather in eastern Montana and western North Dakota.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The White House believes that plans by a Florida church to burn copies of the Quran could endanger troops.
Over the weekend, General...
Powerful yet affordable security, networking, and storage solutions trusted by more than 80,000 businesses worldwide. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit.
888-ANTI-SPAM or visit Barracuda.com.
What's in the news? I'm Steve Kaith in CBS News.
This is Stereo AM 610 KCSR Shadron.
The administration tries to head off the Quran burning.
It is un-American in the sense that it does not represent...
Watch your match of
Vagina locations, Cal Fire, Drew, Service. Coming up in hour two, the Riders, Jeremy O'Day, Pat, Coach Curtis Hunt,
More ahead.
Radio, 4K Sports Talk Radio for Saskatchewan and the 4620 Triangle.
Radio 660 KEYZ, Williston.
From ABC News, I'm Brad Wheelis. No,
Seals, Manitoba today.
Live local coverage. You're listening to Manitoba's News Authority, CJOB 68, the superstation.
Good evening, I'm Barry Burns with your news at 6 o'clock. In Winnipeg, it's cloudy and 13 degrees. No great surprise from the Professional Property Managers Association.
Canadians heard 540 CBK in Watrous, Saskatchewan. The rare occurrence of a call letter ID on the hour from CJOB in Winnipeg at 680. And a very noisy CBKF in French. 580 from a short stick in the signal-sucking mountains of the South Dakota Badlands. The others are self-explanatory. And Chadron, Nebraska, the first of the several AM stereo stations we'll hear over the next few trips. We skipped past 550 KFYR, 570 KNAX, 600 KSJB, and 710 KXMR since we heard those from eastern South Dakota. Back to the tuning knob, beginning with a very weak KURL Billings, Montana. See if you can pull it out of the noise. It's 350 miles to the west of us.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. And AM760.net.
At 5 o'clock, it's 84 degrees. I'm Kathy Walker with your AM 760.
6233-2604. And your community calendar has been brought to you by Main Street Grind, downtown Miles City. Come in for a fresh-made, delicious sandwich.
Keep listening for more fun, news, weather, sports, and music of the 80s, 90s, and now. 77 KATL Radio, Miles City.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu.
That's National Farm Report for today, brought to you by Wink Products Company, a presentation of Tribune Radio Network.
91 Classic Country, KCJB Miami, the Magic City's news and information station. Your home for Fox News Radio. 91 Classic Country, KCJB Miami.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley. Colorado Governor.
KKLS Rapid City and 97.5 K248BT Rapid City.
America's most listened to oldies radio station.
Well, I love it. It's brilliant.
The true oldies channel.
When the alarm sounded, we're able to escape without injury. Investigators are checking into what caused the fire. You're listening to KVSH. It's now 6 o'clock. Time for ABC News.
Homes, but they do know 9 houses belonging to firefighters burned to the ground. KFLN Baker, a Newell Broadcasting Corporation station.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley.
Mental illness. What a difference a friend makes. To learn more, go to whatadifference.org. This message is brought to you by the Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Big 98, reaching out from the hills. KDSJ, Deadwood.
From ABC News. Brad Wheelis, no contact.
The RCMP rescued an 86-year-old man who spent more than four desperate days in a Manitoba swamp. Lost and finally found. Tonight on As It Happens.
This is CBC News.
CBW Winnipeg last in there. We skipped again a bunch of stations we've heard before. 740 KVOX, 750 KMMJ, 790 KFGO, and several of the other Minnesota-oriented stations are missing now. And we're up to 990, the Canadian we just heard. So now we get into what over here in western South Dakota is kind of a graveyard, if you will. KXRB in Sioux Falls is gone. The Minnesota stations are gone. Des Moines is gone. We've already heard the Pierce station, which is dominant here on 1060. 1070, 1090, 1100, 1110, they're all gone. 1130 we've heard. 1140 is gone. And that takes us to 1150, which when we last tuned in was a station in Albany, Minnesota.
1150 AM, KIMM, Rapid City, and 106.7 FM, K294BT, Rapid City. The following is a production of MRN Radio, the voice of NASCAR.
For a current list of licenses, disclosures, and all benefits, go to VARadio.com. VARadio.com.
Find the hits of today, tomorrow, and yesterday.
From old to new, everything's there.
AM 1230, KDIX.
You can help. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Fox Sports Radio, overnight and weekend, on KTOF AM 1340, KTOQ, Rapid City. AM 1340 News.
Good evening. It's 5 o'clock with Michael Savage. Now too late. Michael Medved.
It's not scientific, and choice does not establish science. I'm Dr. Dean Adell.
Hills Information Superstation with the news when you need it. KOTA Rapid City. It's 5 o'clock.
The administration tries to head off the Quran burning.
It is un-American.
KRRZ.
You're getting good times and great oldies on Oldies Radio 1400 KBJM. Lemon.
CBN Radio. I'm Shelby Lynn. Our top story this week.
103.1 KYDT, Sundance, and AM 1450 KBFS, Belle Fouche, the Country Twins.
The following is a production of MRN Radio, the voice of NASCAR. A Southwest North Dakota original. Classic Country KLPC 1460 Dickinson.
From ABC News, I'm Brad Wheelis. No.
Western Dakotas, KNDC, 1490 Pettinger, North Dakota.
From ABC News, I'm Brad Wheelis.
Oh, we've certainly done a lot of skipping here because there's not a lot on the upper part of the band. But it's absolutely amazing to me to hear how far some of the graveyard stations will carry out here in cattle country. Hettinger on 1490, sounding pretty much like a local, is almost 80 miles away. And that's pretty much it. There's just not much else at the top end. One big station, the regional out of Aberdeen on 1560, which we've heard earlier. There's one X-band station on 1660 from Fargo.
Do the pregame show and take you up to the pregame live from...
KQWB-AM, West Fargo, Fargo-Moorhead, 1660
ESPN. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Kevin Winter. The closest division races are in the National League and the NL East in baseball. The Phillies trail the Atlanta Braves by just a half a game in the National League.
And there's the result of a casual dial spin across the AM broadcast band in Faith, South Dakota. So with these three South Dakota reports, we have brought you every AM station in the state and a lot of signals from neighboring states and Canada. We're moving west on this series of adventures. Our next stop will be well inside Wyoming, and we don't have many captures from inside Wyoming, so that'll be the subject of a future report. Until we meet again, best wishes for a great holiday season, and good listening, DXers.
Thanks, Mark, and before we get into the next piece, I just want to quickly let some of our members know, some of our new members. You're going to hear me mention IRCA. Well, the IRCA is like the National Radio Club. For some reason, historically, it seems like the IRCA tends to be a group of people on the western side of the United States, while the National Radio Club seems to be more eastern. Why that is, I don't know, but there are two AM radio clubs available, the International Radio Club of America and the National Radio Club. And right now we're going to be talking about the International Radio Club. The 2011 IRCA convention is going to head a little further east, and this note comes from convention coordinator Mike Sanborn, who is also a National Radio Club member, I believe. He writes, "Well, it looks like it's official now. The 2011 IRCA convention is going to be held in Colorado Springs, Colorado, Thursday, June the 23rd through Sunday the 26th. Our hotel location is the Airport Value Inn and Suites, located at 6875 Space Village Avenue in Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80915. The phone number for reservations and inquiries is area code 719-596-5588. Special convention guest room rate will be $69 per night. Be sure to mention IRCA Convention and host Bob Wine. I will be playing co-host. Bob has set up a special address to accept registrations of $30 per person and any auction items or donations. That address is Robert Wine, W-I-E-N, number 106, 2910 North Powers Boulevard, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80922-2801. We're planning the usual station tours on Friday, along with some tower photo ops, etc. The business meeting, banquet, and auction will be on Saturday. We'll have much more information as it becomes available. Everybody who loves AM radio is invited to attend. And that is from Mike Sanborn, KG6LJU. And as a closing note, I should mention to some of our new members that there are plenty of these little get-togethers and conventions around besides the IRCA, which stands for the International Radio Club of America. There's a get-together that usually happens somewhere in Wisconsin, usually in early August, as well as Ray Arruda has a get-together in New England on his back porch. And then, of course, the National Radio Club Convention is held every Labor Day. And there's a few little get-togethers. I don't know if they're still doing the Culpsville Shortwave Fest, which also has some dealings in AM radio as well. So there's plenty of little get-togethers to go to over the year. So keep those in mind. We'll try to pass them along as we're made aware of them. So stay tuned.
FCC wants unused spectrum for mobile. Broadcasters urge to free up airwaves to meet wireless demand. By Cecilia Kang from the Washington Post. Federal Communications Commission Chairman Julius Genachowski said he plans to encourage broadcasters to give up unused spectrum for auction to wireless carriers, an initial step toward achieving an agency goal of making networks faster for mobile phones and tablet computers. In a recent interview, Genachowski said he planned to introduce a proposal at the agency's November 30th meeting that would lay the groundwork for broadcasters to voluntarily release airwaves for sale to mobile carriers, which have been struggling to keep up with consumer demand for internet-capable wireless devices. His comments come as the FCC struggles to assert its regulatory authority over broadband networks in the face of court challenges and industry pressure. Genachowski declined to comment on whether the meeting would include a vote on his controversial net neutrality proposal, which would essentially require internet service providers to treat all web traffic equally. "I have nothing to add to what I've said before," he commented when asked whether he thought he would be able to move forward on net neutrality rules if he didn't try to hold a vote on his proposal next month. The FCC has instead been focused on mobile broadband regulations. Last month, it approved a policy that would allow consumers to tap super Wi-Fi networks that are more robust and connected longer distances than current hotspots. Analysts called the auction proposal incremental and said it would not provide immediate relief to users struggling to keep their smartphones from grinding to a halt in congested metropolitan areas such as New York. "I think it's best viewed as setting the table in the event Congress approves incentive auction authority," said Rebecca Arbogast, an analyst at Stifel Nicolaus. Specifically, Genachowski said he would propose granting broadcasters the ability to share digital channels, giving them leeway to relinquish unused airwaves that could then be auctioned by the government. The FCC would also seek to free spectrum by improving reception on other airwaves and attracting broadcasters to those channels. Genachowski said some spectrum would be available for experimentation by universities and researchers. The proposal also would explore whether broadcasters could re-lease their spectrum that isn't being used. "There's a lot of work we have to do to take care of our nation's invisible infrastructure, our airwaves," Genachowski said. "The demands on our spectrum are increasing so rapidly that we know that if we don't take steps now and in the near future, we will have serious problems." And that story was from the Washington Post.
On our last DX Audio Service, we had an article about WGN and Sam Zell, the owner of Tribune. And this article comes from the New York Post by Josh Kossman, titled, "Zell on the Hot Seat." Tribune creditors plan to ask a judge tomorrow to rule on whether they have the right to sue Sam Zell and others who had a role in the $11.7 billion buyout of the newspaper's publishing company that ended in bankruptcy, the Post has learned. If the judge rules in their favor, the creditors would have until December the 7th to file their suit before the statute of limitations runs out. They have 2 years from the time the company filed for bankruptcy to bring their case. The unsecured creditors will also back a new reorganization plan that Tribune plans to file tomorrow that would establish a litigation trust so bondholders could follow through on their suit and collect proceeds if they win the case. Aside from the contentious creditors, the company's management woes also threatens to complicate its efforts to emerge from bankruptcy. The Wall Street Journal reported that Tribune's board is preparing to replace CEO Randy Michaels with a four-person caretaker management group, citing people familiar with the matter. The issue of whether creditors can pursue legal action against Zelle, bank lenders, and others who had a hand in saddling the company with debt has been an obstacle to reaching an agreement for the fractious bankruptcy case. The unsecured creditors, who rank below other creditors in the line to get paid, have made it clear that they would not agree to any reorg plan that barred them from going after Zelle. Earlier reorg plans sponsored by the company have included indemnity from lawsuits for Zelle, the board, and others. Lender J.P. Morgan has reportedly backed the new plan in exchange for immunity from the pending suit that would be brought by unsecured creditors. More senior creditors are expected to challenge Tribune's reorganization plan. Fighting amongst various groups of creditors has kept the company mired in bankruptcy for close to 2 years. Tribune's creditors have until October the 29th to file alternative proposals for reorganization of the company. After he gets the plans, bankruptcy court judge Kevin Carey will try to hammer out an agreement among the warring creditors. The unsecured creditors have alleged that the buyout was a fraudulent transfer because it piled $8 billion of debt on Tribune, setting the company up to fail. Zelle kicked in only $315 million of the nearly $12 billion leverage buyout in 2007.
It's time for a pattern change. Or at least to flip over your tape for more of the DX audio service.